You mentioned, Ron, how Coach Story could do things. He had a way, when he thought we were getting a little bit cocky, he would have ways of bringing us back to reality. I remember near the end of the eighth grade, we thought we were getting pretty good because Doodles and I subbed on the varsity a little bit and played on the junior varsity. Well, Coach Story scheduled a game with Beetleton down near Fulton. And Beetleton had grades 1 through 9. So we go to Beetleton, his upstairs gym, had 6 posts out in the playing area, 3 on each side of the court, and the basketball goals, the backboard was right against the ceiling. They beat us 6 points, but we thought we had really done well under those conditions. And so the next day we go to school, Coach Story wouldn't even talk to us. He'd look at us, shake his head, and the only thing he'd say is, "I thought you boys were better than that." Well, by the time we got to practice that afternoon, we had our story pretty well set on why we lost. We said, "Coach, there were 6 posts on the floor, 3 on each side of the plane. We had to dodge those, and the backboard is right against the ceiling." He said, "Did they move them for Beetleton, or did they have to play the same way?"
The coaches back then could be sort of rough, sergeant types of discipline and so on. Was he a very focused coach? Focused in on what he wanted to do? Was he tough?
Oh, in his way, he was extremely tough, but we knew what his way was. And his way wasn't to tie our hands. In basketball, we could do whatever that we thought we could do and experiment, and he would never get after us. Now, if we loafed, if we did something that was totally off focus, like one time we talked him into letting us go to Mayfield get a haircut, and they had a pool hall at Mayfield. Well, after we got a haircut, we decided we had time to play one game of pool. That led to a number of games of pool. He sent one of the Joe Buddy Warren's father after us. We got back to school. Well, he putted on us. You talking about paddling, and there we were, juniors and seniors in high school. So he had a style that we knew we could not cross the line, but we knew where the line was, and that's what made it so great.
Marianne, I meant to ask you this a lot earlier, but how did you agree to do this book, and did you have to do a little bit of soul-searching, because is this the first sports book you've written?
Yes, it is.
Once again, as Bob said, it's a people book, so
yes. I after I talked to Howard several times, and after I met Doodle, who's just a delightful person, I'm just really fond of him, and Joe Buddy and Jimmy Webb and Bill Pollock, all the others, they're just fine men, and they were all so cooperative, and they each had a wonderful story to tell. I knew that I had a good story. I had good, strong male characters. I had a wonderful place. I had an action, and I had this theme of perseverance that you can do if you don't give up. So I knew I had all the elements of a good story. It was just a matter of putting it together, and it was hard to put together because people don't always remember things the same way, and they don't always even remember what you'd like them to remember. And sometimes one member of the family will remember an event one way, and then another one will remember it another way. So a writer has the obligation to put the pieces together, as best as she can, and to as truthfully as she can. And that's what I did. But it was hard to assemble all the parts. That's where I got discouraged sometimes and writing the book, and it was just hard. I had so many characters, I had so many people to deal with, so many personalities, and then I had these basketball tournaments, and then I had this place that I wanted to incorporate the history of the purchase, and that's where I really struggled with putting that all together.
Well, you accomplished piquing my interest in the purchase area. As we do this interview, last week I just took a trip through the purchase area. I'd always wanted to do it, but especially after reading your book. Bob, I want to remind people we're doing this interview at a restaurant. They are now emptying the garbage, but they're real nice here at Arby's to in Beaver Dam to let us all gather here and do this interview. But, Bob, why don't you slip in a question here now?
Well, from a writing standpoint, you covered some of the things I did want to ask, but what were some of the favorite people that you interviewed and anecdotes? I noticed that you integrated anecdotes very well. Did you have some favorites when you were putting this together?
Some people, favorite narrators or people, characters, like, I loved Eddie Harper, you know, the only man in Pilot Oak that owned a car that refused to stop at the one stop sign in Pilot Oak. He would just blow the horn and go straight on through. I love that story, and his wreck with Delbert Webb, I think. I thought that was amusing. And then I love the story about Mr. Wagner at the Pilot Oak store and Howard and Doodle trading chickens for comic books and Milky Ways. And there were a lot of stories. I love Dr. Page. Dr. Page delivered all of the Cubs, the Cuba Cubs, except Doodle. And I loved hearing about Dr. Page. I met his daughters. One lives in Mayfield and the other, the other lives in Mayfield, in Murray, excuse me. They both live in Murray now. And they provided so many interesting stories for me. Actually, I couldn't use all those asides, as I might call them, in the book. But there were a lot of characters, you know, that were just wonderful and funny, and I wish I could have put everything in. The book would have been a good bit longer, though.
What you were talking about earlier, that this community just sort of supported the team, win or lose, and we have gotten into a thing where we're real fond of winners, and when a team loses, maybe they're knocked out as don't make it as state champions. They're knocked out before they reach that plateau, or they're knocked out of the first game, that we all sort of slink back into town. But I was intrigued by what you were talking about with the reception the team got, and I'm going to ask Howard, but I think they wanted to slink back into Graves County. But the community really met them when they were state runners-up.
That's true. And, you know, in the book, I think it's in the second chapter, where I quote at length a Lexington sports writer column. The sports writer pointed out how the people in the Jackson Purchase supported the Cuba Cubs, and how some people in Lexington wouldn't, he said, leave their easy chairs to come to the Coliseum to see the games until the tournaments. And he said, not so with the Cuba fans. And he said, I wonder why people in Western Kentucky are so devoted. And that really interested me, and I loved finding that article because it did, you know, it was an outside source verifying the fact that the people in Western Kentucky did indeed support the Cubs. And did I answer your question?
Yes, you did.
No,
you did fine, and I wanted to ask Howie. Howie, I know you were extremely disappointed when you didn't win it in 1950, and did y'all just want to quietly slink back into the county, and were you surprised when so many people showed up?
Well, Ron, to be honest about it, we felt like we were losers, even though we had lost in the finals of the state tournament. But Clark County, with Limbo Puckett, Lewis Snowden, they had a great team, and they beat us, I think it's 24 points. So, and we hadn't been beaten like that all that junior year. We'd only lost, I think, a second time all year. But we hadn't played outside of Western Kentucky. And we really were depressed, even though we had lost in the finals of the state. And we had no idea that anyone would be waiting at the Kentucky Lake for us. We couldn't believe it when we went down Highway 68 and 80 running together there. We could not believe what was going on. At first, we didn't really know that they were there for us. And then, of course, as we drove up, and they had convertibles, and it was cold, and they even had overcoats for us. And it was a total shock. 10,000 people back in those days waiting for you at Kentucky Lake was unheard of, and it was a total shock to us. But it made us feel great.
Who did you beat in 52 after you beat Corbin? Who were some of the teams?
Now, Ron, you're going to... Let's see.
See, they don't even remember. Who did you beat in the finals?
You're talking about 52?
Yeah, 52.
Oh, okay. Well, Hindman caused us to go into sudden death in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. And we, Doodles hooked one from the corner, falling out of bounds. In the sudden death, Coach Story was up, they said, up screaming, "Don't shoot, Doodle, don't shoot."
Great shot.
And then he said, "Doodles, what if you'd miss?" And Doodles said, "I wasn't aiming to miss, Coach." But Hindman, and of course Corbin, Jerry Bird was a great ball player. And they had a good ball club. And we were very fortunate to beat them in the first game. Then Henry Clay had a good basketball team. And, of course, Al Pruitt, those guys, yeah. You know, were excellent players. And those were the four. And then we beat Louisville Manual as the fourth team in the finals. The thing about state tournament both years is that we were behind every game until, I think every game maybe won, we were ahead at the half. But in nearly every game we were behind. We'd have to catch up in the third quarter. Once we would catch up, then we could really hang on the ball. So it affected our style. We never did play in the state tournament either year the style that we played through the season, because the teams were much stronger and we got behind and we were having to struggle. So we couldn't do the things with the basketball that we had always done when we were playing teams where that we knew we were stronger. And we were very fortunate because of the rules, Ron. You could take the ball out on the side. If you got fouled, if you got two free throws, you could shoot the first one, take the second one out. So once we got ahead, we could keep the ball, and they couldn't get it without fouling. And that was our key. They changed that rule after we won the state tournament.
You know, I'm going to embarrass all of us sports nuts. I've researched this. I had to research it. We're only talking this past March. Who was the boys' state champion this past March?
Louisville Ballard,
okay. But I bring that, you know, I bring that up as a point that back in the early 50s, everybody in the state would have instantly have been able to answer that, and then they would have said the year before that it was so-and-so, and the year before that it was a big deal back then. Not that it's not a big deal now, Bob, but it's not quite the big deal as it was in the 50s.
Television's caused that. I'd like to ask Marianne about how much time you spent behind the typewriter, for those of us who are writers, how much time you spent behind the typewriter, how much rewrite you worked on, and how you dealt with discouragement. Can you tell me about those things?
How much time did I spend at the typewriter? Well, I use a computer. I use the WordPerfect program, of course, and gosh, how much time did I spend? He would leave for work in the morning around 8 and come home for lunch. We would eat lunch, and then he would come home 5:30, and I would be downstairs at the computer every day, all day. During the when school was in session, of course, I'm a full-time teacher at Henderson Community College, so when I'm teaching, it's hard for me to write. I would write on weekends, on spring break, but mainly my writing was done in the summertime. Christmas break. And I produced three separate drafts of this book. When I first sent a proposal to Rutledge Hill, I heard they did good sports books.
Where are they from?
Nashville. Okay. And I sent a proposal, and a query letter and a proposal in 1996. I sent a proposal. And I expected to just sit back and wait 6 months or 8 months, you know, to hear. But instead, I heard in a couple of weeks from this editor that said, "This sounds like a great story. Send your manuscript right on." But I didn't have a manuscript. So I hurried. I could tell he was really interested in the basketball aspect. So what I did essentially was expand the Louisville Courier Journal article that I had done in 1989. And I just put all the basketball I could find.
Well, we have to shut it down right there. Our interview with Marianne Walker, Howie Crittenden, and Bob Watkins continues for another 30 minutes as we conversed, and you can tell we enjoyed it thoroughly at an Arby's restaurant in the service area on the Western Kentucky Parkway at Beaver Dam. You've been listening to Heart of the Matter. I'm Ron Boone. Have a real good Sunday.